Trinadapi Sunichena Tarariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Kamlesh has requested that I speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Teachings of Lord Rishabhadev to His Sons. Lord Rishabhadev begins the chapter. My dear boys, of all living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. So this is a recurring theme in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the philosophy of Vedanta, that the human form of life has a special priority. That is the first line of the Vedanta Sutra. Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Human life means that you should inquire into the nature of the Absolute Truth. That is your primary responsibility as a human being. Sense gratification will automatically come to you even if you don't strive for it. This was previously explained by Narada to Vyasadeva in the first canto, and it's also mentioned by Prahlad when he's instructing his class friends. The logic is, do you strive for distress? Do you strive and endeavor for suffering? No. But doesn't it come anyway? So in the same way, sense gratification will automatically come your way, just as distress will come. Why? Because of your past karma. Because of your past fruitive activities. It's destined. You can't change it other than surrendering to Krishna, which is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Doesn't he say in chapter 7 that the material energy is insurmountable? So that's what it means. The material energy is going to give you exactly what you deserve in terms of happiness and distress. There's nothing you can do about it, but Krishna says the only way to override the stringent laws of material nature is to surrender to Him. And we all know in this house that surrender to Krishna is the foremost of all shlokas. Am I right? Sarvadaman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Ahang tvang sarva papibhyo moksha yeshyami ma suchaha. Next statement by Rishabhadev. One should therefore engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. And when one attains this position, one attains eternal, blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. So, in the first verse, Rishabhadev said, don't endeavor for sense gratification. But you should endeavor, what does he say here? Penance and austerity. But what kind of penance and austerity? Penance and austerity so that you get the situation of devotional service. And all of us should know how many items are in devotional service. That number is 9 items of devotional service, which we sing regularly. Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana Dasyare Pujana Sakhi Janatma Nivedana Nirantara Das Abhi Lashare. Yes, one should engage in the 9 items of devotional service. Which one are you doing right now? Shravanam, hearing. Very good. It's the first. It's the beginning. And then the next item is chanting. So one should hear and chant about devotional service. Then Rishabhdev says, what happens? Your heart becomes cleansed. Lord Chaitanya's first instruction, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. Cleanse your heart. Now, once the heart is cleansed, now you can begin to taste not material happiness, not material distress, but spiritual bliss, ananda. As he also says in his first Shikshashtakam, ananda ambudi vardhanam. The process of devotional service is like an increasing ocean of bliss. Increasing ocean of bliss. So the more that you hear and chant and remember and serve and worship Krishna, then you're going to experience, again, not limited happiness or limited distress, but pleasure, bliss, which is increasing. That's why he said it's transcendental to material happiness. Next statement of Rishabhdev. One can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. This is another very common, regular statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It was mentioned by Suta Goswami in the first canto, and it's something that is repeated throughout Bhagavatam. We learn in ISKCON from Srila Prabhupada, from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that when you serve the spiritual master, then all kinds of opportunities for advancement automatically take place. As Prahlad prayed to Lord Nrisimha, when Prahlad was offering his prayers, he said, my first duty is to serve my spiritual master. That's what he told Lord Nrisimha. And Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that personally by leaving Vrindavan, getting on a boat at the age of 70 and coming to New York City all alone with 40 rupees only and no friends, no disciples, alone to start this Krishna consciousness movement. And because he knew the first order is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And his spiritual master told him back in 1922, preach in English. Let us continue. One should render service to the Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. So there you have it. Rishabhdev is making it very clear. You want to go to hell? Here's how to do it. And he says, that path is wide open. Associate with women and have sex. Spiritual life means less and less and less, to the point, no more sex. Otherwise, hell. Isn't that what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita? Three gates leading to hell. Anyone who knows Bhagavad Gita knows the three gates. The first one, lust. Then anger and greed. There you go. Everything is there in Bhagavatam. One time, I was distributing Prabhupada's books, and the man said, I'm not interested in these religious books. I am an atheist. I am a demon. I said, oh, you should take this book because it'll help you to become the best. Read chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita. You'll become the first class atheist demon. I don't remember if he took the book. But it's true. You can find out very clearly. Shashabdev is saying, you want to go to hell? This is how to do it. Go to Las Vegas. Enjoy your senses. Become a dancing fool. Go ahead. And there are thousands of people, if not millions of people right now, that's exactly what they're doing. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. Same thing in Bhagavad Gita chapter 5. Same thing. Pandita sama darshanaha. That's a saintly person. Sees everyone equally. They are devoid of anger and they work for the benefit of everyone. That is what we learned from Prabhupada as well. Prabhupada taught his disciples, we're not yogis. What does he mean by that? A yogi is only interested in his own benefit. We are supposed to be devotees. Devotees wants to see others happy. The devotee wants to see others take to this path. Because devotee is compassionate. Also is there in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Atmau Pamyena Sarvatra. The true yogi sees how everyone is suffering in this material world. And the devotee is someone who is not concerned with their own, but they want to help others. A similar thing Prahlad said in the 7th canto to Lord Nisringa. Prahlad told the Lord, as far as I'm concerned, I'm happy. I can hear and chant anywhere, I'm happy. But I am concerned for all these fools and rascals without Krishna consciousness who are rotting and going to hell. Prahlad was concerned. And Prabhupada had the same mood. The first disciples in the first years were not high-class Hindus or the upper echelons of society. They were the social rejects, the most fallen. But he turned them into devotees. So that's the real sign of a devotee. He wants to make others Krishna conscious. The Mahatmas do not behave in any abominable way. So a devotee is known by his good behavior. Behavior is everything. A devotee has to show that his hearing and chanting is actually bona fide. And the only way someone could tell that is by the ideal example of a devotee. I will tell you a story about my wife. She was working in the law office for a couple of years. Her boss one day called her in. He said, close the door. So usually that means, uh-oh, something's up. So my wife became very nervous. My boss said, I heard something. I heard that you are a Hare Krishna. I said, yes, I'm a Hare Krishna. He said, I'm so mad because I hate Hare Krishnas, but I like you. Now I can't hate Hare Krishnas anymore because of you. You have ruined me. Why did he like her? Because of her behavior. A devotee should be so ideal in behavior. That was the mark of the six Goswamis. The ruffians liked them, and the nice people liked them. Everyone liked the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Same way with Haridas Thakur. When Haridas Thakur was in the jail, all the prisoners were gravitated toward him. Devotees' character should be so nice. Rishabhdev continues. Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing their love of Godhead do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. So this is the meaning of what it means to be not in Maya. When you're in Maya, you're doing something not Krishna conscious. It's very simple. I should always ask myself, okay, it's 6:14. Am I acting in Krishna consciousness or not? If I'm not acting in Krishna consciousness, I'm in Maya. Simple. Am I acting in Krishna consciousness? Okay, I'm not in Maya. And that should become an anxiety. I should be anxious. Wait a second. What am I doing? Am I in Maya now or am I in Krishna consciousness? That's why Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniya. Oh, not Saturday, Hari? Not Sunday? Not 1 hour? What does Sada mean? Always. Always. Devotees are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders. Nor are they attached to wives, children, friends, or wealth. Now, someone may hear that and go, huh? But listen to what Rishabhdev says. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. You see the difference? Attachment means I'm doing something for my personal aggrandizement. But when you do your duty, yes, you take care of your family. You work. Because you're a householder, you have to work. That's what it means to be a householder. You have to get a job and maintain family. That's what it means to be a householder. But you're not attached. You do your household activities, but you do it as what? Service to Krishna. My wife, how do I look at my wife? She is Krishna's devotee. I am meant to serve her, not exploit her for my sense gratification. That's not what a wife is to the husband. The husband is actually the servant of the wife in Krishna consciousness. The husband views the wife not as an object of sense enjoyment, but as, oh, here is Krishna's servant. I must help this wife become Krishna conscious. And the wife also cannot view the husband as Mr. Money and Mr. Gimme this, gimme this, gimme this, now, gimme. It works both ways. The wife has to see the husband. He is servant of Krishna. I have to serve him in that light. Not that husband is there for my sense. Okay, now do this. Now do this. Jump here. Jump there. I want more. No. I have much experience of this in my preaching around the world. I have practical experience of people who are in that very position. Sometimes it's the husband, sometimes it's the wife. They don't have that understanding. So we do our duties, but we do them in Krishna consciousness. So whether you're going to school, you're going to school so that you can learn something which you will use later on to serve Krishna appropriately and maintain your family appropriately. It's not that we should become bums for Krishna. Yes, I got a college education, but I'm a bum. No. I have to do everything conscientiously. Just like Parikshit, Yudhishthir, they were kings. But they weren't just sitting around enjoying sense gratification. They were kings in Krishna consciousness. Next statement of Rishabhdev. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, one certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. This is the same thing that the Yama Dutas said to the Vishnu Dutas when the Vishnu Dutas stopped the Yama Dutas from taking sinful ajamya. And so there was a discussion on religion. And the Yama Dutas said, wait a second, this ajamya was a karmi. And someone who is a karmi is bound to commit sinful activity. Bound. There's no escaping it. He has committed so many sinful activities. But the Yamaduta said, anyone who's simply acting on the material platform will eventually commit sinful activities. And if it's not atoned for, he comes to our boss. You know who he is. Yamaraj. And you get punished. So Rishabhdev is saying here that if somebody makes sense gratification the aim of life, he's going to become mad and he's going to commit sinful activities. One does not know that due to one's past misdeeds, one has already achieved a body which, although temporary, is the cause of misery. Yeah. We all have a body, and sometimes, I think most of the time, you're suffering. How many days do you wake up feeling jubilant? How many days? How many days of the week do you wake up, man, life is great, I feel wonderful? How many days? Maybe one day a month. How about the rest of the day? I don't feel so... Why is that? Your past sinful activities, you got a particular material body and you're dealing with it. No excuse. This is for everybody. Everybody is dealing with a particular material body, which we got this one because of our past pious and sinful activities. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Yes. The reason one gets a material body is because one wanted to enjoy the material world. From Lord Brahma down to the ants which were disturbing us earlier today. The ant and Lord Brahma are in the same boat in this sense. Either have a material body and they want to enjoy. Some are just like in an airplane. Some people in the airplane are in first class, business class, and they get all kinds of comforts, and the stewardess comes every half an hour, would you like this? And then the rest of us are in economy. And maybe you get a glass of water every 3 hours. They're all on the plane, but some are being treated a little better than the economy class. So demigods, they are in first class. Human beings, they're in middle class. And those below human being are in sub-economy. Baggage claim. Yes. Enjoy your ride through life. Rishabdev says, therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. Here is the root of samsara. The root of samsara is the desire to enjoy the material world. And as long as I have a desire to enjoy the material world, take another birth. That's it. If I want to no longer take a material body, then I have to get out of the plane of sense gratification. Get out and become liberated and go back home, back to Godhead. That's how you do it. You surrender to Krishna, you do devotional service, then you go back to Godhead. Otherwise, take another birth. I'm in the midst of writing a song, and in the song I'm writing how life is an unending book, and each lifetime is a new chapter. So right now I'm writing this chapter, and this chapter, whatever I'm doing in this chapter, determines the next chapter. And how long has this book been going on? Billions of chapters. But when will I close the book? When will the book be ended? Kamlesh can tell you. I already mentioned it. Chapter 7, verse 14. Daivi esha guna mayi mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prabhadyante mayam etam tarantite. The only way to close the book once and for all is to surrender to Krishna. And the easiest way to surrender to Krishna is to chant the holy name. Everybody, Hare Krishna. Rishabdev continues, as long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, one's mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruitive activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. And as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, one has to accept a material body. So we already mentioned at the outset, the purpose of human life, Rishabdev said, it's not sense gratification. And here he said what I said. The purpose of human life is inquiry into the nature of the absolute truth. That's the priority of life. And here Rishabdev is repeating something that Lord Kapila mentioned to his mother, that originally consciousness is pure, but due to engaging in sense gratification, the consciousness becomes colored. So the idea is to come to clean, pure consciousness. Again, Lord Chaitanya's first instruction. Cheto darpana marjanam. Darpana, the mirror. If you ever go into a house that has been locked up for many days, like maybe some of you have houses in India, and you don't go there for quite some time. But then when you go, you see the layers and layers of dust. And you have to, oh my, cobwebs, and everything is just covered with dust. But you have to cleanse it. The heart is the same way. We've been accumulating lifetime of both pious and sinful activities, but the surrendering to Krishna, the performance of devotional service, cleans it. When the living entity is covered by the mode of ignorance, he or she does not understand that the individual living being and the supreme living being and one's mind is subjugated to fruitive activity. Therefore, until one has love for Lord Vasudeva, everybody say that name, please, who is none other than myself, one is certainly not delivered from having to accept a material body again and again. So here, Rishabhadev is stating, I am God. I am Vasudeva. So he's making that claim to his sons. I am God. And he's pointing out, unless you're free from this fruitive material activity, you're not going to be delivered from getting another material body. Just like you young boys. Aren't you glad it's summer vacation? No? You want to go back to school? You're in school. Oh. How would you like to... Okay, so after this life, how would you like to go to school again? You want to do it again? And again? And again? And again? That's what's happening. Every life you got to go to school, if you get a human body, that is. Just think about it. Right? Say, I remember once as a young boy in school, one student did not go to the next grade. So he had to take the seventh, whatever grade it was, all over again. Everybody else in the class moved on. But this one fellow, he had to retake everything over again. That's not the goal of life. The goal of life is to graduate. So we should graduate to the kingdom of God. Rishabhadev continues, even though one may be very learned and wise, one is mad if he or she does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Very bold statement made by God himself. I'll repeat it. The endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Being forgetful of one's own interests, one tries to be happy in the material world, centering one's interest around the home, which is based on sexual intercourse, and which brings one all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. Strong language here by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We sometimes say, tough love. That's the expression sometimes used in America. Tough love. Yes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can sometimes speak very sweetly, but when he acts like a sadhu, he cuts. What did Krishna do to Arjuna? When Arjuna surrendered in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, did Krishna speak very sweetly to Arjuna? No. Called him a fool. Arjuna was chastised by Krishna. You are talking like a learned man. You are talking like a learned man, but no learned man talks like you are talking. Now, this next statement by Rishabhdev. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Do you want me to stop here? Okay. Vanchikapatrubhyascha, Kripasindubhyaye Bhaccha, Patitanang Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. With your permission, may I continue. We are hearing the chapter by Lord Rishabhdev, his instructions to his son. He had 100 sons headed by Bharat. And in this chapter, he is giving instructions to his 100 sons. And this next statement of Rishabhdev is perhaps one of the most powerful statements in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the most. There are many. But this one is so powerful that it will make the gross materialist shudder. Here is what Rishabhdev now tells his sons. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to the body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. I do not think you will hear such a statement on CNN. You definitely won't hear it on Fox News or any TV station unless it's India on a religious channel. Because the gross materialists cannot hear such statements. And even if they do, they will think, yeah, it's great. I like this bondage. Yes, I want more bondage. That's how they think. Because they're fools and rascals. But Rishabhdev, God himself, Vasudeva, he is saying, this is a misconception, the attraction between male and female. It's an illusion. We have to become more and more attracted to Radha Krishna, serving Guru and Krishna. Now Rishabhdev continues on the same point about the strong attachment for the opposite, and nowadays same sex. That's Kali Yuga. Now Kali Yuga is getting even worse. When the strong knot in the heart of a person implicated in material life due to the results of past action is slackened, one turns away from attachment to home, wife, and children. In this way, one gives up the basic principle of illusion, I and mine, and becomes liberated, and thus goes to the transcendental world. So I and mine, wasn't that the beginning of Krishna's teachings to Arjuna? You're not that body. You're eternal spirit soul. And as Bhagavad Gita progressed, Krishna said to Arjuna, all living beings are in me and they are mine. We belong to Krishna. We don't belong to America. We belong to Krishna. Achyuta Gotra. When you become initiated into the spiritual way of life, you become part of Achyuta Gotra, the family of Krishna. Because, doesn't Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the seed-giving father of all living beings? And doesn't Krishna later say in the Bhagavad Gita that all living entities are my Angsha, my part and parcel. Just as most of you have Angshas, here you have your Angsha. You have an Angsha and one on the way, right? They belong to you, they're part and parcel of you. Krishna is saying, you are my part and parcel. You belong to me. How many people like the fact that they belong to Krishna? I like that. I don't want to be part of anybody else. You don't want to be told, you're part and parcel of Obama. No, you don't want that. Why? No. But you are part and parcel of Krishna. Yes. Why? He's all attractive. Right? Everybody would love to be part of somebody who's wealthy, who's famous, who's all powerful, who knows everything, who's detached, who's the coolest of the cool. Yes, we are all part of that wonderful, all-attractive person known as Sri Krishna Bhagavan. We belong to him. Yes. And once that is accepted, and once that's understood, Haribol, that makes you happy. Yes. When Prabhupada, when I first started to read Prabhupada's books and it started to hit me, you're not this, you're not this, you belong to Krishna. Krishna is the supreme lovable object. It was like bricks and bricks were coming. And then one day, you're in the kirtan and you're completely in ecstasy. Because now you realize, I belong to Krishna. Rishabhdev continues, O my sons, you should accept the highly elevated Paramahansa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. In this way, you should place your faith and love in me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Same thing Krishna told Arjuna. Just try to learn the truth. How? How should Arjuna learn the truth in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Yes. Not by going on the internet. He had to accept a spiritual master and inquire, and he had to render service. That was the thing. Actually, Prabhupada points out, first you render service, then you make inquiries. Service first. You have to humble. Then you have the right to ask questions. You have to qualify yourself. So that the message of Bhagavatam is going to be completely in sync with the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. There's no contradiction. The truth is one. Bhagavatam is going to take where Bhagavad Gita is and simply expound on it. Give you more detail. But the essential teachings, it's the same. You should detest sense gratification and tolerate the duality of pleasure and pain. Chapter 2, verse 14, Bhagavad Gita, Tams Titikshasva Bharata. You know what that word Titikshasva? Krishna said, pleasure and pain, like right now, what's today? Hot, 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 hot. Right? And in India, it's hotter, hotter, hotter. Hottest. How hot is it in Delhi right now? And in Braj. Yes, you know Braj right now. Too hot. After 12 o'clock. Right? I know. First year I went to Vrindavan, everybody told me, after lunch, take rest. Then 3 or 4 o'clock, you can... Yes. The second part of the day. Because it's too hot. So Krishna is saying in that verse, Tamsa Tikshasva Bharata, there's no solution. Tolerate. That's it. Just tolerate. Try to realize the miserable condition of living entities who are miserable even in the higher planetary systems. This is mentioned elsewhere in Bhagavatam. We like to think, oh, Indra, he's king of heaven, he's enjoying some... He's in anxiety. Why? There's always some demon knocking at the door. One day, Indra woke up and there was Bali with millions of soldiers outside his capital city. Indra had to go into hiding. He wasn't going to win that war. So, Indra, you may be king of heaven, but it's not that you're free from anxiety. Because this is Kunta, not Vaikunta. Even Swarga is still Kunta Lok. Vaikunta, it's on the chart. Vaikunta is the transcendental world. Beyond this material world, which Krishna mentions several times in Bhagavad Gita. Beyond this material world, there is my abode. The spiritual, there's Vaikuntha, no anxiety. Not here in Irvine. No. This is Kunta Lok, the world of anxiety. It's very clear. You turn on the news, 1% good, 99% bad news. Without fail, day after day. But in the spiritual world, every moment is happy, 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 moment after moment. No bad news in Vaikuntha. Not here. At least I haven't seen it. Philosophically inquire about the truth. Then undergo all kinds of austerities and penances for the sake of devotional service. This was already mentioned. Rishabhdev already said it earlier in this chapter. You should do penances and austerities in order to come to the platform of bhakti. Here he's saying again, so we don't perform penances and austerities for any other purpose. For instance, Hiranyakashipu did austerities nobody can imitate, even in dream. We are not meant to follow that kind of austerity. Austerities are there, but they are austerities in terms of devotional service, such as Ekadashi. That's a good austerity, the day of Lord Hari. By following Ekadasi, you will get a better situation of devotional service. And there are so many austerities in order to achieve devotional service. When Prabhupada accepted disciple, the disciple had to follow four major austerities. No more animal food, fish food. Actually, I cannot even use that word. It's not food. Especially now if you find out what they're doing. I can't even mention. But people are being cheated. It's not food. It's actually stool that they're eating. Meat, fish, eggs is actually stool. So you have to give up this. You have to give up intoxication. Coffee, tea, cigarettes, alcohol, drugs. It's an austerity. You have to give it up. That was Prabhupada's standard. No cheap disciple. Then you had to give up gambling, speculative business enterprises. No cheating. And then no sex outside of marriage. No sex outside of marriage for the purpose of procreation. Not for sense gratification. And we already mentioned that earlier. These were the four austerities that in Prabhupada's movement you accept if you want this position of devotional service. You have to be willing to follow these four strictly. And you have to be willing to follow them enthusiastically. Yes, I know someone who's right now fighting addiction. He can't fight the addiction by saying, I'll try. No. If he wants to fight and conquer the addiction, he has to be strong. No. Not I'll try. You all know how you say it better than me. I'll try. No. Firm. Determination. Conviction. Just like Ravana had conviction. I will carry off Sita. He had sinful conviction. Well, we have to have divine conviction. I will surrender to Krishna. I will perform these austerities in order to achieve a position of devotional service. That's what's required. Dridavrata. Rishabhdev continues. Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of the Lord. Listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why you came here tonight. We're not going to play bingo here. We are listening to discussions about God. In some religious institutions, they go to play cards. I told you the story about that group. They do one, two chapters of Bhagavad Gita and then they play cards. That means they don't understand one word of Bhagavad Gita. Stupid. Where is there in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavanam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Gamblingam? Where is that? I want to know that verse. But the problem is Kali Yuga people are fools. And they're easily misled. Mandasumanna matayo madna bhagya upadrata. They're easily cheated in Kali Yuga. So easily cheated. They easily accept any idiot as God. This Baba, that, this. Stop it. Accept Krishna. I did it. Why can't anybody else? If I can accept Krishna, what is being of you or anybody else? I was speaking on this recently. It's not difficult to surrender to Krishna. He's so beautiful. He's not an old man with a beard. I can understand that. But he's all attractive. He's got all the wealth, all the beauty, all the fame, all the knowledge. What's not to like about Krishna? There's not one thing not to like about Krishna. Unless you're envious. Ah. Then you got a problem. If I'm envious of why Krishna has all the gopis, I want some too. And then you're going to have a problem. So that's why Bhagavatam opens. The second statement of Bhagavatam, give up envy, the original sin. Otherwise, don't bother. You're not going to penetrate Bhagavatam. You have to give up envy. Can't give up envy? You're not going to do it. Bhagavatam is very clear. It tells you right away. There's a, you know, what do they call that? A disclaimer. Yeah. Bhagavatam has a disclaimer in the very second verse. Paramonya Matsaranam Satam. You want to read the 17,998 other verses of Bhagavatam? You gotta give up envy. And envy begins with God. To give up envy of God. That's what it means, surrender. When we surrender, it means I'm giving up my envy of God. You are God, I am your servant. That's the definition. That is the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The meaning of the Maha Mantra is, Krishna, you are God, I am surrendering to you. Engage me in your service, not my service. Oh God, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Swap, no. Surrender means, what can I do for you? Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of the Lord. Listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And always associate with devotees. Now I'll get puffed up. I'm just talking about envy and pride. May Krishna bless you. Good to see you after a long time. You look good. You made this garland? Who made the garland? It's very good. Very nice. And by the way, I've said this 100 times, but I know I got to say it again. Later on, when I give you this garland, please wear it. The idea of wearing a garland is that all the bad karma comes out of the body. When I give you the garland, it's a blessing. Every time I give it to somebody, what do? They put it on the side. So if I give you the garland, please wear it. It's for your benefit. It's going to take out all bad. Isn't that a good thing? Just like when I go to the high schools and I tell the students, keep looking at my tilak. Because by looking at my tilak, I'm burning up your bad karma. All of a sudden, the students are like, they're fixed. Because they get that. They may be Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever they are, but nobody wants bad karma. So that's what I tell them. Keep looking at the tilak. And I see many people wearing tilak. Very good. Always associate with devotees, Rishabhdev says. Chant about and glorify the Supreme Lord. And look upon everyone equally on the spiritual platform. Meaning, no matter who that person is, Krishna is in their heart. That's all. Whatever that person may be, still Krishna's in their heart. Lord Shiva told Sati. Lord Shiva told in 4th canto, I don't offer respect to the person who identifies with their body. That's not what I'm doing. Lord Shiva says, I pay respects to the super soul within that person's body. That's what we're doing. We're recognizing Krishna is in your heart. That benefits me. That benefits you. Give up enmity and subdue anger and lamentation. Abandon identifying the self with the body. First lesson of Bhagavad Gita. Abandon identifying with the home. And here's a good one. Practice reading the revealed scriptures. Notice that word Prabhupada used in the translation. Practice. Oh, I read Bhagavad Gita. That's not practice. Practice means something you do regularly. Practice means, sometimes when we try to give books to people, and especially Indian person, I already know all this. Yes, we've heard that a million times. But what are you practicing? We should be reading these Bhagavatam, Gita, and actually there's a line in first canto, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And Prabhupada used to make a point. Nowhere is there Bhagavat Sattaha. Nityam Bhagavata, daily, every day. That was Prabhupada's strong point. Bhagavatam and Gita are to be read every day. Do you eat every day? How many times? 2-3 times a day? Now the fashion is 6 small little noshes during whatever. You're eating every day. Janmashtami day comes, you're sweating. What? It's only 2 o'clock? Oh my God. Feels like 12 years or more. What? It's only 4 o'clock? Then miraculously at 11 o'clock, you're not hungry. What happened? Then 12 o'clock, midnight comes. Up to that point, 10 o'clock. Oh, God, I'm not going to make it. So we have to practice reading Gita, Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. We want to do this daily as a regular daily function. This is how you feed the soul. You feed your body with nice, sumptuous prasad. Right? If you're Gujarati, you like that kandvi, right? Yes. Do we have some tonight? Next time. All right. If you are Bengali, you like that rasmalai rasgulla. Huh? Also, you like that dal chawal. That's what I like. Or that, what is that? Was that the beans and the batura chole? Yes. You're making you hungry, huh? Why is Narantra talking like this? We still got another hour. He's making us hungry. But we need to feed the soul. And the soul is fed by chanting the Maha Mantra. Everybody. And by reading Bhagavad Gita, and by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and Kamlesha's favorite activity, preaching. By preaching, you feed your soul and you feed others. Now, I have 1 minute left, and we will turn over to our special guest of honor tonight that Kamlesha and Meena have invited. So we did not finish the chapter. Actually, there's a lot more. But I was vituperating too much. I got too fired up. So everybody raise their hands and repeat after me. Hare Krishna.